You are so worthy to be bowed down to, Lord. You all remember what Canaan means? To bend the knee. It's the way to the promised land. So the songs were nice. Hallelujah. Yes, we've been talking much about Canaan in recent weeks, the promised land. We learned that in the original text, Canaan means to bend the knee. We've been looking at our responsibilities before the Lord, how to produce the promised land fruit. And we heard last week out of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 and 5, that right now the Spirit of God is present in the earth, bringing the high places down, the prideful places or obstacles in your life. If you need a place to live and you're calling on the Lord and following the Lord, He brings the high places down, the low places up. If you've been bowed down to the truth, the Bible promises those who bow to the truth will be lifted by the truth. He brings the low places up. Hallelujah. He makes the crooked places straight. The rough places smooth. This is what the Spirit of Jesus is doing. And why is this? So that the glory of God can be revealed to all mankind. I don't know if you know it or not, but when you sign up for the program of Jesus, when you hear the gospel and respond saying, "Wow, my only reasonable thing I could do is to give you my life, a living sacrifice," you signed up for Isaiah chapter 40, verses 4 and 5. Come into my life. When I'm looking in the mirror, Lord, when I'm looking in Your Word, Lord, straighten out the crooked places, bring the high places down, the low places up, make the rough places smooth, so that the glory of God, Jesus is Lord of all creation, can be revealed to all mankind through my life. And we heard also last week how important it is to sacrifice praise to God. If you have an obstacle, you can say, "It's not too hard for You." That's praise. And then you thank Him. And You love me. You're my advocate. You're my friend. You're helping me get where You want me to be. So that's a thank you. Say, "Thank You, God." One, it's not too hard for You. That's praise. Thanks is you believe He's doing it for you, all right? Listen, folks, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but Psalm 50:23 is a key to Isaiah 40, verses 4 and 5. This offering praise to God and offering thanks to God helps to straighten out their crooked places. Crooked places that think like, "God is here to serve me, to make life easy for me." That's all crooked. Unless you're first praising, "You are Lord. You are King, not me. I renounce lordship of my own life," and say, "You are my Lord." Now, if you're doing that first, He is here to favor you. "I'm here to follow You, God. And I believe You're going to favor me so I can follow You. In fact, I can't follow You if You don't favor me." You should expect God's favor if you've chosen to follow Him. Amen? So He is your advocate. He is your friend. He is doing all sorts of wondrous things as you're working out Jesus as Lord. And this manifests that promised land fruit. You're bending the knee to the truth that Jesus is Lord. And we shouldn't expect the outward promised land fruit if we're not willing to do the inward work. I think I've been emphasizing that in recent weeks. Go to the mirror. Look in God's Word. Look at yourself through God's Word. Allow God to help you change wherever you need to be changed. We heard, you know, so you've got God's good Spirit. Good for you. He desires to shower His children with praise, but He refuses to do that if you won't allow the Holy Spirit to circumcise your heart, to trim things away, you know. So we've been looking for weeks about the inward things, and I just want to assure you that that inward work produces outward fruit for others to see, okay? Even the magnificent promised land fruit, folks. Let's look at Psalm 105, verses 10 and 11. I did not go searching for a Thanksgiving message as we in America celebrate Thanksgiving this week. But let me tell you, the breath of God was all over this passage I'm about to share with you. It's an assurance from God to you. And before I read the passage, I just want to remind you, God gave His best to you. God did not withhold anything good from you. when He gave you Christ and you didn't deserve salvation or deliverance or forgiveness. God did not withhold His best from you. And I believe in recent weeks, the Spirit of God has been ministering. The only reasonable thing is for you not to withhold anything from God. Give God your best. And folks, this is something, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is something we work out for the whole of our lives. Once we've given ourselves to the Lord, He expects nothing less than our very best. And it's not that we're earning our way into His pleasure, but when you're giving God your very best, you're showing, I've received your best, Lord. When you're giving God your very best, you're showing, I believe you were pleased to save me even when I was wandering like a wild person, completely untamed. I'm trying to say, we give our thank offerings to God, our praises to God in response to what He's already done for us. We're working that out our whole lives, and it's normal for us to begin getting shabby and lazy and less than our best to God, especially in American churchianity. With all the sloppy grace messages. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just saying there's a mysterious work, a mysterious labor that if we will yield to the Holy Spirit of God with His help and seek the Lord, man, such a fire is born in our hearts for Him that it becomes an honor and a pleasure to give Him our best, to give Him what's dear to us. I sacrifice it to You, God. Even with tears, You are so worthy. Thank You for taking this costly offering from me. Praise You, God. Because we took a costly offering from Him.
Yeah.
Our atonement. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to say, folks, as we do that, as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, inevitably, we all fall short of the glory of God. We want the crooked places straightened out and you know, we're seeking God and in a sense, sometimes we're even wrestling with God. Well, You don't really want me to sacrifice that. We all fall short of the glory of God. So I give you a little assurance here from God this morning. Psalm chapter 105, verses 10 and 11. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel, there it is, as an everlasting covenant. An everlasting promise. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. And wow, like I said earlier this week when I came across this passage, the Spirit of God was just all over that. And I want to relay to you what was delivered to me. Can you accept the magnificent fruit as your inheritance? The promised land. Nothing is impossible with God. I have my own relationship with God, and I've named some of the things specifically. I can just assure you they're outrageous. Things that could never happen if God wasn't real. But I believe God is real. And I'm not going to get into all the promises God has spoken to me. But I want you to accept God's love, Jesus. And everything you could ever hope for or ask for or imagine that's good is found in Him.
Amen.
And it's through you yielding to Jesus. Abiding is the word that this magnificent fruit is promised. And God says to you, you know, if you've been giving Him your best and you find you're falling short, are you giving Him your best? Are you abiding? Inevitably, we all fall short of the glory of God. And so the Lord says, I give you the promised land as your inheritance. It's bought and paid for by the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Now, here I'm talking about the fruit, the magnificent fruit. But we can't neglect the root. The root is, the bended knee is a gift to you. God has given you the credit of being submitted to God. He's given you the credit that you've bowed your knee to Him when you accepted Christ. It was Jesus' perfect obedience that was credited to you. And as you and I meditate upon that, we're inspired. We're excited. Because then you get to enjoy the fruit of that perfect obedience too. This is your inheritance. To bend the knee, to bow the knee to Jesus is the root. He just says, now abide. And that's what we're all, with His help, looking to work out. I want to abide. I realize there's some crooked things you need to straighten out in my life, Lord. I trust you're going to bring down the prideful things. Maybe some evil spirits have been tormenting you, lording themselves over you, oppressing you. He says, I'm bringing them down. And maybe you have been yielding to the truth at the cost of your very life. You've been offering praise, offering thanks. In fact, it's transformed your heart because you've purposed, I'm going to praise you and thank you no matter what is going on. Hey, that's a low place He will bring up. He'll make the rough places smooth so the glory of God can be revealed that Jesus is Lord to all mankind. Your inheritance is magnificent fruit and your inheritance is a magnificent root. Have you received it? Your inheritance. The will of God. Jesus. Because He is glorious. This, what I've just described to you is grace. The credit of perfect obedience. Abide. Verse 19 is detailing, you know, the journey of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even the offsprings, including Joseph. These promises came forth, and it says in verse 19, till what He foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved Him true. We've heard this in recent weeks. One version says that God will give a promise and the promise itself is purging your character. The promise itself is refining you. Now, come on now. This is a mystery and it's awesome. God has magnificent things for you to enjoy in the earth. And He will speak those things to us and over our lives. And they, please hear me, the good things are already released to you from heaven. When you receive Jesus, you have them. It's not a feeling. Because everything good comes in Him, by Him, for Him, through Him. So you think about these good things, these magnificent promises, wow. And you don't have to work for them, it's your inheritance. They're in God. In you. Hallelujah. Magnificent things, and this thing, this word says, but we got a rub here. There's an issue. Your character is not fit for the blessings. If I gave you the blessings now, you would be crushed and destroyed by the weight of their goodness. This passage says the promise itself refines the character, purges the character. The promise itself, it all comes together in Christ. We have the gift of perfect obedience. And as we abide in Jesus, we're actually growing in the Lord until it's a perfect fit. And the promise is there, and you're there, and what happens? Jesus is Lord. Instead of the fruit being Lord, which is the natural tendency, you see it all through the Bible.
Yeah.
The people suffered, the people cried out. God would answer and give them what they wanted, and they immediately began worshiping what they asked for when it was given to them. And we're outgrowing that through Christ. So that it says the promise comes and we receive it, and then the promise itself is purging our character. The promise itself is so amazing. The promise is developing us so that we can like wear the promise, so that we'll be a good fit for the promise. Are y'all hearing me? Is this too mystical? It's not too complicated, is it? And many a Christian think, well, I can handle the promise now. Okay, that's a high place. It's coming down. Don't say that. Don't even believe that. If you could handle the promise now, you'd have it now.
Amen.
And the truth is, we do have it in Christ.
Yeah.
We do have it in Christ.
Amen.
And that promise is purging us, and we're growing, proving us true, proving us faithful in the Lord. When God doesn't turn back, He's going to finish what He started in you and me. The magnificent fruit is our inheritance. It's bought and paid for. It's God's goodwill. The truth is, it's in your heart already through Jesus. And you're producing that fruit through abiding in Jesus. The credit God has given you. Amazing credit God has given you in Jesus. This credit of you live with a bended knee to the King. And if I looked at my last week, I might not agree with that in my shallow thinking. But in the deepest of deep, it's a credit already given, and we're outgrowing everything that says otherwise. Now, so that applies with the Romans 2, 28 and 29 that we've had recently. You have the Spirit, and the Spirit's looking to circumcise things out of your life, out of your heart. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, trimming away things that ought not abide in your life. Maybe they were fine last year, but as you're growing in the Lord, they're not anymore. You understand that? And Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 says, God desires to give you praise. He's looking to give you praise in the earth. But because He's holy, He's only going to do it His way. Otherwise, you're the Lord. Big newsflash, you're not the Lord. Neither am I. Galatians chapter 3. Somebody says, I do have the fruit. I don't feel like I have the fruit. If you got Jesus, you got some serious goodness in you. Keep abiding. Keep yielding to the truth. Let the Spirit trim away lies and deception, selfish desires, and you will obtain and others will see greater than you've asked or imagined. You will produce the fruit through abiding in God. Your fruitfulness comes from God. Galatians chapter 3, I've marked verses 13 and 14. This is keeping in harmony with you having the credit of a fully bended knee in Jesus. You know, because if we're relying, if we're going to try to produce the promise through our own efforts, we're going to find that we fall short inevitably. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, that is, from the penalty for not keeping the law perfectly. You all know the penalty for not keeping the law perfectly is death. That's sin. Not to keep the law perfectly. Not to live with a bended knee perfectly is sin. And the payment for that is death. And this passage is saying, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He became the curse for us, folks. The penalty was paid. That death, He died for us. Verse 14, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham... Now, the passage we read in Psalm 105 is the blessing given to Abraham. It's given to Abraham and his descendants. You're a descendant of Abraham if you have Christ in you. The promise is given to you. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob... Joseph, and on the line, you know, down the line it goes. And when we receive Christ, we're part of the household of Abraham. Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham, that word might is not in the original text, would come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit. And you know how God will show you different facets of His verses. There's over 33,000 verses, and every single one has, I believe, infinite facets of beauty. This says that you've received Christ so the blessing of Abraham could come upon you. You've received Christ so the promise of the Spirit could come to you and be yours. And we heard in recent weeks that the Spirit, we're crowned with God's Spirit. And that's a source of discernment to us to turn back the battle at the gate, to turn hell away, destruction away, and let heaven in. Now here I believe in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, so that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit. We receive the whole... How many of you got the Holy Spirit? Everybody, all right. You receive the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of Jesus. In Him is everything you could ever ask for, want, or imagine that's good. But also, as I read this week, He was showing me, you receive the promise of the Spirit as it was. It's like this. There's one passage where it refers to the Spirit as the attitude of the mind. And I am not saying that the Holy Spirit is an attitude of the mind. But I have been tirelessly preaching we are to be in harmony with God's Spirit. You know, there's this thing about you write the law, but some people can miss what the law means. They miss the spirit of the law? What was the spirit behind the law? You see what I'm saying? And as I read this passage in Galatians this week, the Lord was saying, so good, you can hear Him laughing and everything. The spirit behind the promise, the attitude of the mind behind the blessing is so good. And Jesus became the curse so that you could receive this attitude. God's attitude towards you is redemption. To take the mess and make it a beautiful message. The attitude of God's mind towards you is peace. Is prosperity. And I'm not trying to change what the truth says here. I already said, I believe it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But if you could meditate on this for a few days perhaps. Think about this in coming days. I want to know the attitude of your mind toward me, God. It's to bless you. It's to give you this credit of being perfectly yielded, that your knee is bowed. It's to give you your heart's desires, the attitude of God's mind toward you. It's all good. Not to harm you. Jesus became the curse. He destroyed the hostility between us and God. Can you accept that? Because God would have you abide in that attitude of the mind. Jesus destroyed the hostility between me and God. Well, what was the hostility? The payment for sin. That's the hostility. And that's what's been removed by the cross. That Jesus paid the penalty for you and me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Have you received the forgiveness, folks? You hear about it, you know, through TV preachers, you hear about it in church, you might hear about it when you read the Word. Have you received the attitude of the mind? Have you received the Spirit? You know, we say we have. But then in having our hearts circumcised by the Spirit is growing in God's grace. And I believe the Lord told me this week, we all have room to receive more of His forgiveness. You think you're forgiven once and for all, teetotally, and that's true. But then we're growing in God's grace. Maybe He's addressing something called negative inner vows. A lot of people, when they're young, something happens, maybe they say, well, I deserved that. I did bad, so I deserve that. And if you take a negative inner vow as a child, you could carry that your whole life. And you need God's grace to come and reform that. He would want to illuminate that negative inner vow, bring it to the surface for you. And a lot of times, folks, when that negative inner vow comes up, oh, I deserved it, or you know, I don't know what all the negative inner vows are, but I can tell you this, they produce bad fruit. And when they come up, you agree with them. You agree with it over and over and over for years and years and years. Maybe this is one of the foes God would have you overcome for the promised land. He wants you to bring that argument, bring that contention, bring that thing in submission to the truth. God has given you the credit of this perfect obedience, the credit of this bended knee. See to it that you don't reject the gift. Because you're clinging to a negative inner vow. Negative inner vows are bad. They lead to bad things. I didn't plan to bring any of this up. Help us, Lord. You know, the I can't. Something happens and your response is, I can't. Wait a minute. The truth is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which one is ruling in your heart?
That's right.
Because God has given you the credit of perfect obedience. And if you're choosing the negative inner vow when it comes up, people agree with the negative inner vows. God will allow it to come up so that you can recognize and go, oh, that's ugly. That's not in submission to the truth. And that becomes your responsibility. Now check it out. It's no wonder people go to hell or live hell on earth Even people who are, quote, Christians, people who are saved, if God brings up negative inner vows or other things that aren't bowed down to the truth, and He's given you the credit of being bowed down to the truth, but you reject the credit because you love the negative inner vow, you're not going to produce the magnificent fruit. Then it becomes a just reward for you to have ugly fruit in your life. Because you chose. And this is not God's desire. God's desire is for you to live out the credit of perfect obedience. I can't control my thoughts. My thoughts just go wild. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a permission for you to deviate from the goodness of God. And what will you find when you deviate from the goodness of God? Let me tell you in big capital letters, B-A-D. Nothing else but bad. Jesus became the curse so we could have the blessing spoken upon Abraham. We became a friend of God through Jesus' work on the cross. We take up the attitude of the mind of God. The Bible says we have that in Christ. The spirit behind the blessings is, I love you and I've come to straighten everything out, to fix everything. The truth is probably all Christians, when you get saved and you're made perfect and there's no corruption inside, deepest in you, in the next level in that soul of yours, your mind, will, and emotions, there's probably some negative inner vows that need to be ironed out. They need to be straightened out. And the Lord will allow them to come to the surface. And at that point, it's up to you to agree with God. Don't bow your knee to that negative inner vow anymore. And God, we ask you to help us with this. And we believe we receive your help. And that's where I brought up this whole topic, because I believe He was telling me this week, you all have room to receive more forgiveness. Isn't this great? Because, you know, before the Lord spoke that to me this week, I thought I was doing pretty good. I love you, Lord. There's nothing between us. This is good. Actually, there's more room for you to receive forgiveness from me. I want you to know my mind towards you more intimately. The attitude of my spirit towards you is blessing. And I find God's grace is relentless. You would think of His grace as soft and sweet, but His grace can be like a hammer too, man, to just pound and pound that hard heart of yours and mine, and keep pounding and keep pounding that hard heart till it breaks open. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask and receive your healing for negative inner vows. Now, if stuff comes up later today or in coming days, I want you to know the Spirit of God is upon you to straighten out the crooked places, to bring the high places down, to low places up, to make the rough places smooth, so that Jesus is Lord can be revealed through your life. Can we all do this right now too? Lord, we renounce negative inner vows. Wherever we've agreed with unholiness, Lord, we renounce that. And I declare every agreement with death is nullified in Jesus' name. By the power of the cross, we have Canaan. The gift of Jesus' obedience is in us, and the grace to abide. Hallelujah. He's come to set the captives free. You can, through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says His grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. His grace, His kindness teaches us to say no to those negative inner vows when they come. You have God's favor. I favor you. You didn't earn it, or it wouldn't be called favor. You have God's forgiveness. You have God's healing. You have the magnificent fruit, because you have the splendid root. I said Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Hallelujah, Lord. We're rooted in God through Christ Jesus. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Woo-wee! I think we could spend a few years on each one of these verses. In Christ is the fullness of the deity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it all. But in Christ is the fullness of God, and that's been put in you. You have the fullness of God in you. Verse 11, in Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, that old fleshly nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. So we heard in Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, in recent weeks, you must be circumcised by the Spirit. You hear in Colossians, it's done. If you received Christ, it's done. God is able to shower you with praise in front of everybody. Then it really gets down to, are you rejecting this or not? He's given you the credit of bending the knee, the perfect obedience. Abide. Do not reject the gift of God in Christ. That's amazing to me. I love that verse 11. You have been circumcised. Verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. So that's how you were circumcised, through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That was you. You died with Him. Your old nature died with Him. Was buried. And then you are raised with Him. Your new life is now hidden in Him. And He is revealed through you. It is done. Receive that. Don't resist it. Don't reject it. Abide. Verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, that old fleshly nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. The written code, folks, the accusations of the devil, the I can't. When you say I can't, what you're saying is God can't.
Yeah. That's right.
When you say I can't, what you're saying is your abilities or inabilities are greater than God. You're rejecting the gift. When you say, I can't, you're saying your inability is greater than God's ability. And the penalty for that is death. Because it's sin. This passage I'm sharing with you, I'm not quite finished sharing it yet, says that every written thing against you, everywhere you broke the law, everywhere you fell short, if you meant to or not, all the written things and their penalties. Here's why you deserve death. Here's what you did to deserve death. It's all been nailed to the cross of Christ. He took it all upon Himself, this passage says. Are you receiving God's forgiveness, folks? Are you receiving His grace? Because His grace teaches you to say no to, I can't. His grace teaches you to say no to ungodliness. God's grace teaches you to accept His mercy more and more. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Those powers and authorities, the voice of the accuser, the ones that come even before God, the accuser of the brethren, that wants to use your own words against you. Yeah, when you verbalize a negative inner vowel, don't you think, I already told you before, you're either cooperating with the innocent, heaven, through praise and thanksgiving, or you're empowering darkness. There are authorities and principalities. There are evil spirits. And when we're not living in the truth, we're giving them the upper hand in the heavenly realms while God's trying to save us. We're opposing God when we do that. God, forgive us. The Bible does say some children of God make themselves enemies of God. And when that grace comes, the grace of God comes, I have more forgiveness for you. Please take it so we can get where I'm trying to take you. And you hear that grace and deliberately keep on saying, I can't. Deliberately keep on sinning. The only thing, the Bible says, then you've made yourself an enemy of God and you should expect His wrath and it won't be pleasant. So this is serious. And the neat thing about this passage in Colossians 2, it says every reason why you should experience death in your life has been taken away. You have the reasons, those are the roots, and then you have evil spirits to perform them, to carry them out. They've all been disarmed because the reasons are taken away. They have no reason. They have no right unless you're still worshiping a negative inner vow. Then you're giving them reason. I hope this ain't too deep today. This stuff is for real. It produces tangible fruit. God has more forgiveness for you and me. More kindness for you and me. We're humbling ourselves to receive it. It's not a feeling.
Yeah.
We take it by faith.
Yeah.
Every reason for our destruction has been removed. Jesus paid the price. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Praise You, Lord, for balance. We've been made perfect once and for all while we're being made holy. If you get out of balance on one end or the other, you're not going to produce the good fruit God desires. One is sloppy grace. I've been made perfect once and for all. If you don't realize that you're still being made holy, that's sloppy grace. You get caught with your pants down. You'd be embarrassed. And while I'm being made holy, if you focus too much on while I'm being made holy, God is making me holy. If you focus too much on that without first receiving the gift of perfect obedience, that becomes what we call religion or religious rule following. That's out of balance too. Jesus is our balance. Romans chapter 8 verses, I marked 1 through 4. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, there's that whole thing, I didn't even mean to make this connection, but there's that whole thing about the attitude of the mind of God, the Spirit behind the blessing. I can't even put it into words. You can see it here in this verse. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's a whole new attitude of the mind that liberates you in Christ Jesus. God is out to bless you. God is out to help you. He's familiar with your weaknesses and He loves you anyway. He knows your flaws and He chose you anyway. The attitude of the mind of God. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the flesh or the old sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be, there it is, a sin offering. He paid the price for you and me. I'm telling you today, God has more forgiveness for you. So you've received His forgiveness. Good. He has more forgiveness to give you. Forgive yourself. Receive His forgiveness. This passage goes on. And so God condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law would be fully met in us. Are you hearing that, Canaan? To bend the knee? Yeah, I'm calling you Canaan. You are God's promised land. His favorite dwelling. I'm going to read it again. In order that the righteous requirements of the law would be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh or the old nature, but according to the Spirit. Again, we have God's Holy Spirit, and His Spirit is here to help us be reformed, even in the attitude of our minds.
Amen.
And I started saying it earlier, but I didn't finish. There's a passage in the King James that says be renewed in the spirit, but in the NIV, it says be renewed in the attitude of your minds. So it depends on the version you read. And I want you to contemplate the spirit of the promise, the spirit of the blessing, really the attitude of God's heart towards you. Isn't it wonderful to understand all the righteous requirements of the law have been fully satisfied and met in you through Christ Jesus? And there is no condemnation. There is no accusation that can stick. It says for those who live in this attitude of the mind, or for those who live, abide in the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God, the blessing of God. It's so rich. And we can turn from those negative inner vows. We can turn from ugliness and receive God's help. And we have today. I'm going to read that one more time. And so God condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law would be fully met in us, who do not live according to the old nature, but according to the Spirit. We live in harmony with God's Spirit. We live in harmony with God's intention to bless, intention to liberate. And let's don't make a mistake so that we're not in sloppy grace. He sets you free so you can worship Him in spirit and in truth. He makes you rich not so that you can spend the wealth on yourself and your own lust, but it's so that you can manage His stuff according to His pleasure. That is, be a blessing to others. Spend the freedom and the wealth I've given you loving others and blessing others. This is God's attitude. And you and I might say, okay, Lord, I will. And it might be that the promise is purging our character, that the promise is refining us to make us a good fit for the magnificent fruit. Amen? You want to be wise and faithful right where you are.
That's it.
We're going to close with Psalm 74. God is so good. His heart is to save the American government. His heart is to save even the media in America. His heart is to save the planet. He is so good. His heart is to glorify the Prince of Peace, Jesus, to bring all nations under Jesus' tangible government. And we don't have to wait for the rapture for that, folks. It starts right there in the mirror. It starts with you. And as you watch TV, I don't know about you, but as I watch the news and these other things, it seems the troubles are so great. The darkness is so violent. And God has spoken to us just last week. He was saying, don't magnify the trouble. Magnify the Lord. Don't let the mountain crush you. You use the truth to crush the mountain.
Amen.
And this passage is kind of like that. I don't know what's going on in your life. If it's a huge negative inner vow, if it's some obstacle, I don't know what's going on in your life. But God would have you recall, He's big. He loves you. And He's not finished yet. In Psalm 74, they're listing, you know, things have been so hard, God. We're being oppressed, God, and I'm telling you right now, God hears the cries of those who are oppressed. God hears the cries of those who choose to praise Him and thank Him while they're being oppressed. This is a key. It's okay to tell God you're being oppressed. It's okay to tell God you're suffering. The one who abides in that ends up worshiping the flesh, the old nature. They're actually being selfish and end up charging God with wrongdoing. And there's negative inner vows entangled there. The one who's being oppressed and says, this hurts, God. Won't you rescue me? I don't like this, Lord. I need your help. I can't do it without you, God. It's okay to tell the Lord about the pain and suffering. But at some point you have to admit, you are God. You are good. You're the author of my salvation.
Amen.
This is the bended knee that's been credited to you. And when you are abiding in the truth, God has come to save me from the oppression.
Amen.
Folks, there is no way around this. It's kind of like you're the olive, the flesh, and the olive is crushed by providence. So that God's Spirit, God's glory comes out of you. That's the olive oil. The power. And the key I'm trying to relay is there are times and seasons in your life where maybe you have to be like a doormat. Other people are wiping their poopy feet on you and all this other stuff. And God expects you to abide in the truth and to praise Him and to thank Him. There are seasons. And the payoff is great. The payoff is the rescue of the Lord. The payoff is He'll make all those who've opposed you, all those who've mocked you, bow down and admit that Jesus loves you. There are times when the old nature is crushed. And it can be agonizing. But that produces the power. It produces the Spirit of God. Because your old nature that says, I have a right to be respected. I have a right to this. I have a right to be treated better. All of that has got to go if you're going to call yourself in Christ. Because He had the right to leave us all in our misery. He had a right to stay in heaven. Yeah. He had a right to smack Pilate upside the head and knock his head off. But He became nothing. He became nothing. Less than nothing, the Bible says. They couldn't even recognize He was a human. He got so tore up, beat up, mocked for you and me so that we could become something through His suffering. There are times and seasons where you just have to go through. You just have to go through. And if you don't choose to praise God then and thank God then, your season is prolonged. So you choose to praise God through it and thank God through it, the promise is refining you and purging your character so that you're a good fit for the reward. And I'm telling you, God is saying, I've been seeing the suffering of my people. I've been seeing the innocent being abused. God is arising to rescue, to put an end to evil. And I think I shared with you last week, don't let that be you. Don't refuse to give Him praise and give Him thanks through the crushing, because He's come to put an end to evil in your life, in my life. We have this credit of a perfect bended knee. Don't reject that. Or the outcome is a just reward, a just payment. Oh Lord, the obstacles are huge. Oh Lord, even me, my obstacles are huge. But then you can praise the Lord. Psalm 74, verses 12 through 23. But You, O God, are My King from of old. You bring salvation upon the earth. It was You who split open the sea by Your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters. It was You who crushed the heads of Leviathan and gave him as food to the creatures of the desert. Listen, with those negative inner vows, you could view those as monsters in the mirror. Negative inner vows. God's desire is that we face off with the demons and overcome through being yielded to the truth. Because Christ has overcome them. So here we have praise that no matter how big the obstacle is. And I'm telling you again, as you cooperate with God in the mirror, in the inner work, it produces the magnificent fruit outwardly. So here we have praise to God. Verse 15, it was You who opened up the springs and streams. You dried up the ever-flowing rivers. In other words, You are awesome, God. Verse 16, the day is Yours, and Yours also the night. You established the sun and the moon. It was You who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter. Wow. Now, we forgot our electronics this morning and had to come up with different songs. And we worshiped God this morning that He's the author of summer and winter. It's right here in the Word of God. Remember how the enemy has mocked You, O Lord. How foolish people have reviled Your name. Do not hand over the life of Your dove to wild beasts. Do y'all remember last week, or was it the week before? He referred to us as His precious dove hidden in the rock. Do not forget the lives of Your afflicted people forever. Have regard for Your covenant. Because haunts of violence fill the dark places of the land. Do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise Your name. Rise up, O God, and defend Your cause. Remember how fools mock You all day long. Do not ignore the clamor of Your adversaries, the uproar of Your enemies, which rises continually. And folks, as I share this passage with you, we're offering praise to God and we're crying out this passage of prayer. Lord, bring down the high places. Lord, lift up the low places. Straighten out the crooked places. Make the rough places smooth, God, so that Your glory can be revealed to all mankind. Jesus is Lord. And the final verse is in the next chapter, Psalm 75, verse 7. It is God who judges, another version says, it is God who executes judgment, meaning in the earth. He brings one down. He exalts another. Again, the Lord, He's looking to make you the chiefest in the earth, to make you a blessing in the earth, to make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He's already done that. That's in you through Jesus. And through our abiding in Christ, it's seen by others. Wow, you are the chiefest. Wow, you are above it all. Even if it's oppression. Even if you're in a season of being treated like a doormat and you're being crushed, you can be above it all through yielding to Jesus. He's already above it all, and through your reverent submission to God, just like Jesus gave reverent submission to God, He became the source of salvation to others. And this same Spirit is working in you and me today. God wants to make each of us a source of salvation to others through Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, this comes around through the reverent submission. This is something we're all growing in. We're reverently submitting to the attitude of God's heart to bless us. And not maybe negative inner vows. You know what vows are? Come on. That, you think about that word? It's a union. A vow is a union. We welcome God to break inner vows that are unholy. We did that halfway through the service in prayer. God has come to do it. Please, folks. If you hear yourself chanting some ugly stuff in, later today or in coming days, that's your opportunity to not agree with it. To say, no, I renounce that. The truth is, and I want you to say the truth, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you, okay? Father, we thank You for coming today to liberate us from vows of darkness, from being united with darkness. We believe You've done it. You've put perfect obedience in us by Christ. You've fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law in us by Your good Spirit, Lord, by Jesus' work on the cross. We welcome Your government in our lives. We trust Your providence, Lord, that no matter what's going on, we choose to praise You and to thank You for the great things You have done, for the great things You are doing, and for the great things You shall do, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. Things never seen before in any nation. Now, the awesome power of God accomplishes through our lives living sacrifices. Nothing is bigger than You, Lord. Amen. You are awesome in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.